Okay, here we go, everybody. Joel Radio's back with our midsummer special. Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the show.
Hi, everybody. I'm Corey Hall.
It's Corey Hall.
My name used to be over the title.
Used to be. Now it's really... You're like... You're Steve Carell.
Then I decided I didn't want to do it every week.
And now I'm not doing it every
week.
No, now
it's every 3 weeks.
So you kind of won.
Yeah.
Lost a credit, but... Wow! 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 I was on vacation last week.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of happy that you have regular theme music, because we always used to argue over what
now,
music to play.
Now it's just automatic.
Yeah.
You just got this funky tune that everyone seems to love.
Remember when the RIAA was going to shut everybody down?
Yeah, everyone was getting shut down.
We never got this.
Not, but now, like, blogs have MP3s up every minute, YouTube's full of, like, you know, even YouTube settled with the record company.
Here's a dirty secret. You can't put stuff back in the bottle.
No, you can't.
And did you see about that, the FCC ruling?
Yeah, I guess that means that, like, you can't go after people for, like, if a DJ says it in conversation, you can't go
Here's what I think should happen. The late night shows, they swear anyway and they bleep it out. Right?
Right.
Like if on Craig Ferguson or whatever, somebody swears.
Yeah.
Just leave the shit in. Yeah. Just leave it in. It's after, if it's after 10 o'clock.
Yeah, they can't.
I think if it's after 10 o'clock, open range.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Who cares?
Sure.
Somebody swears on Saturday Night Live.
And you know, basic cable will break all the, you know, basic cable isn't governed by the FCC.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, Comedy Central does the roast uncensored. There's nudity now on, HDNet has a Girls Gone Wild show at 2 in the morning.
Sure.
And it's, you know, it's HDNet.
But that's a cable channel.
It's a cable channel, but it's still not like, it's not HBO.
You know what the deal is? Oh, thank you. There goes my mic.
No, go ahead.
You know what the deal is? Look. The media universe is so segregated now, oddly enough. It's not broadcasting as it used to be in the largest sense, in that when you had four channels.
Yeah. There's still only three networks broadcasting, you know.
Yeah.
Four, I guess.
When there were three networks and then like PBS and a UHF and or two, right? Everybody saw those shows. But now they've got specialty. There's like 5 home and garden channels.
I know
because I live with a woman and I have to occasionally
and you watch
see,
all those.
You know, The Messiest House in America or Bride Wars or some garbage.
Uh-huh.
But they're not swearing on Nicktoons, right?
No.
And I have a lot of friends who have children now and it's like the goddamn kid channel is on all day.
Yeah.
Even when the kid is little. Like a friend of ours has a baby who's 1 year old, who's a 1 year old, right? Just had his birthday.
Yeah.
And they've always got the stupid Dora the Explorer and the Wonder Pets. It's on all the time.
Okay.
And I just go, the kid doesn't know what's on. He's one. He's putting things in his mouth.
Right. Wow.
But anyway. So don't, if Dora starts saying, I deal smeal, sucky cocky, then it's an issue. But after 10. I don't know. I got off on a tangent.
You did. Well, that's.
But speaking of.
I wrote down all. We made all these topics to discuss.
Yeah.
And you came on discussing none of them. Way
look,
to go.
Speaking of expletive ridden tirades, how about that Mel Gibson?
Well, we'll get to. How much should we start with that? I don't know. That's a hot topic.
It's strong. It's hot.
You know, well, here's the thing.
Hot and topics.
I'm going to play a little bit of the Mel Gibson.
Mel's a friend of mine. So I think he's a good guy.
Yeah, Whoopi
Shut
defended
up, Whoopi.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Whoopi was like, I met Mel. He's not racist.
No, neither was Ted Danson, who did a blackface routine for a roast of her.
Yeah, well, you know, hey.
I don't really think Ted Danson's racist either, so, you know.
I don't know that Mel Gibson is... I mean, what did... I mean, you know, why?
Well, is there anyone on Earth who hasn't heard the Mel Gibson tapes?
Yeah, at this point, it's kind of like, everyone's heard it. He's been dragged through the mud. These tapes are not going to be admissible in court, apparently.
Yeah.
That they can, you know, because he's in California, two parties have to know you're being recorded on a phone so they can use it or else it's inadmissible.
Makes sense.
Apparently there's exceptions to that, but I don't know if this
now,
is going to be
Do we have some tape? Do we have some audio?
Yeah, should I go to the audio?
This is, now, if, in case you haven't paid attention, which I don't know how you could miss the Mel Gibson stuff. Mel Gibson is in a argument, a protracted fight with his live-in girlfriend.
Yeah, this they Russian live-in girlfriend.
They weren't married,
is.
Right?
They weren't married, but they had a kid together.
Yeah.
She was married to, what's his name, Timothy Dalton.
Really?
Yeah. She has a kid with Timothy Dalton, a 12-year-old.
Wow.
So, and she, by the way, also used to be real
the
hot.
The least liked Bond.
Yeah, but she was a real good-looking chick, and now her she's all like had her lips done and stuff, yeah. And maybe it's because Mel beat her up. I mean, that's what she'll probably allege. But she used to look real cute.
Wait. Did Mel put on like brass knuckles filled with, silicone
collagen?
And hit her in the face?
Yeah. No,
some
but
collagen?
No, but she looked real cute. She was like an actress and had some pop songs and stuff, and she was pretty cute. And now it's, I mean, not that she's bad looking or anything, but it's still like it's.
Yeah,
not,
sure.
And it ain't what it used to be. So.
And yeah.
Not that that has anything to do with why he's yelling at her or anything.
But see, why yell when you can just get a new one?
Well, that's the thing. If you're Mel Gibson, you go, look, this guy's got the greatest life. And
I mean, he had a kid with her, and that's his problem.
That might be the issue.
That's his problem.
Don't knock him up.
Exactly.
But, you know, he's a guy who won't use birth control because of his Christian beliefs.
Uh-huh.
And now he's got all this.
That's what I think is at
all
the bottom
this is
of all
around.
This. But let's hear the tape.
All right. Corey says, let's go to the tape. Now, I've cut this. This was the most recent tape that came out today.
They've been coming boom, boom, boom all
week.
Yeah,
every day Radar Online
and
releases
something
another
nuttier
one.
Something is coming along every
now,
day.
I'm going to say this one, we're joining this. I don't even know what they're arguing about exactly, but it's pretty
easy
to follow along.
She didn't do something Mel wanted her to do.
Well, we'll hear that right now. Okay, let's go to the tape.
I just waited for you. I waited and waited till I fell asleep, and then...
See? I didn't wait like 2.5 fucking minutes. You're fucking snoring. Don't you dare wait. You're blaming me right now. Now I'm blaming you. You went to sleep.
I don't blame you.
Apparently you didn't get sex, and that's what you'll hear here.
I deserve to be blown first. How dare you?
Oh.
How fucking dare you?
I guess his argument is that she wanted to go to the jacuzzi or something.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I'll do whatever you want if you blow me. I'll burn the house down. He didn't care.
Sure.
But yet Radar Online puts it up that Mel threatened to burn the house down, which I don't think is the case.
You wanted the number of the
growl.
Because you got problems more than me.
You need medication.
And you know how to fucking push my buttons. And it is not going to work with us. It's not. I can't get like this anymore.
Okay.
And you know you're doing it. And you're a liar. And you're dishonest. And you're fucked up. So you stay the fuck away from me. Take care of your fucking son. And I better have my daughter. I just want my daughter and a maid. It's a lot less fucking trouble. They clean up after themselves. They make your goddamn bed, which you did not. You don't have to worry about emotional blackmail or any of the other bullshit that you put me through. I just need a nice woman to look after my beautiful daughter. I don't have to fuck her or anything. You're a pain in the ass. You're a pain in my ass! Stop being that!
Great.
You're a pain in my ass. Nothing but...
Wow.
I just waited for you. I waited and waited till I fell asleep.
I'm sorry.
just replay again?
Yeah, replay.
Now, issue number one I have.
Yeah.
Her side of the conversation... sounds like it was recorded in a studio.
It does, yeah.
She sounds better than we do.
Well, when I record, like when you would call in on the phone and I did it that way, it kind of sounded like that. But look at all the equipment I'm using to do that.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of sophisticated.
Does that sound like
two
phones talking to each other?
It doesn't sound like two phones.
No, it sounds like she redubbed her stuff in a booth.
Or maybe she recorded on two microphones or something, or mix. I mean, I'm using a mixing board, condenser.
Now, granted, it might not be insane that Mel might have a recording studio.
Yeah.
But is it in the house that she's at?
Well, she's a recording artist of some kind.
Oh, okay. So she probably went into the booth.
Maybe went into the thing,
because at my first blush, I thought, She taped her side of the conversation.
But he doesn't sound like he's on speakerphone or anything. He sounds like he's direct.
Yeah, he's on a phone.
Line, but he's lined in.
Joel just made a finger motion.
Well, like he's not lined
made me think
in.
About what happened in that hot tub. But okay, so she has recording equipment in the house because that sounds professional.
It could be, yeah.
It does when you record two phone conversations on each other, like if you Skype,
sure,
and you hear and two guys are on the phone talking to each other, it sounds like it's a phone, and that. Doesn't she sounds very smooth?
You said this earlier before the show. You said that maybe she was yelling and screaming at him, and she overdubbed her part.
It sounds like she went and overdubbed her bit.
What is the matter?
Very calm.
Hi, Mel.
You complete cunt! I can't believe you. Right. And then, but Mel, all I am trying to do.
You gotta suck it. Put it in your mouth and suck it. That's all I need you to do. Damn it! I need a maid that'll blow me, and all I need is some cookies.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But listen, I think if every guy's yelled at some point in their life,
mm-hmm.
at some woman.
Oh, look, Dennis Hopper just died. I can imagine.
Sure.
But nobody put him on tape.
Exactly.
I bet Dennis Hopper said things that would make me blush, and I'm a dirty bastard.
Exactly. Some of these guys.
Dennis Hopper was so coked out of his head.
Right.
He was married to, Michelle Phillips for like 3 days.
Oh, was he? Okay.
They got married for like 6 days. And she was like, you either get therapy or put a gun in your mouth, because that's the only way this is going to work.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of crazy shit that goes on, and you know. I mean, look, this tape here, to me, doesn't mean anything. This is just an angry guy. Now, he's huffing and puffing. Well, I like that. I like when he just screams. Like, that's my favorite part of the tape.
Here's what it is.
It shows he's angry, sure.
It's character assassination for a guy whose character has already been assassinated.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson started going over the bend 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? When did Passion of the Christ come out?
Did he get picked up for the drunk driving before or after that? It was after that.
It was after that.
Yeah, it was after that.
People thought he had lost his mind when he did Passion of the Christ.
Sure.
That generated all that controversy. Mm-hmm. Every Jewish group in the world.
Right.
And rightfully so. I hated Passion of the Christ. I saw it, and I thought it was a ridiculously weird, just, it came from a weird, dark place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the backlash had begun on that. Then he goes down to the jungle for like a year and a half, and goes down to the jungle in Mexico and makes Apocalypto.
Okay.
A movie which most people found incomprehensible.
Okay.
About Incas running around with, you know, jewelry through their face. Being chased by pumas, right? I mean, did you see Apocalypto?
I didn't see Apocalypto. I've seen some of it on cable.
It's kind
of
cool, but it's in like Aztec. It's in like Incan language or something. It's ridiculous. No one can follow.
Yeah, he's
it's wild, and he'd started going over the bend. Then the DUI happened.
Yeah,
and then he's calling cops sugar tits, and he's
blaming
talking
about the Jews,
all the wars in the world on the Jews. So this is. I don't know how much damage she can possibly do at this point.
Right.
Although this is bad.
Well, the allegation is that he punched her in the face and knocked her teeth out, and he may get charged with that.
Yeah.
And the cops want these tapes so they can...
Sure.
Because apparently at one point he says, in one of the other tapes, she says, well, you punched me, and he says, you deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking that at, you could take that as an admission of guilt.
Yeah.
Of saying, yeah, he admitted that he hit her, and if he hit her, that's wrong.
I guess what I'm saying is, at this point, the damage is done on Mel Gibson. And the damage is done not for any of the rage or the drinking or any of that stuff, because this country will forgive you almost endlessly for that kind of stuff. Look, Robert Downey Jr. was in the joint like 6 years
ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Right? He was doing time. He was, you know, he had a celly watching his back to keep from getting, you know, tossing salads. Right? Now he's Iron Man, and everybody loves him. And that was maybe 10 years ago.
He was on the balls of his ass. But
Charlie Sheen. How many women can Charlie Sheen slap around?
Yeah, exactly.
How much coke can he do? How many relationships
Drugs
can he blow
and,
up?
And
they go,
problems.
Oh, that Charlie Sheen is so funny. He's on Two and a Half Men's.
But see, to me...
But there's a difference here. What I'm saying is...
Okay.
The difference is that crazy Catholicism stuff. Is the crazy, nutty Catholic stuff that comes through in the racism and in the anti-Semitism.
Right.
That is stuff people are less likely to forgive. Look at Tom Cruise.
But is that right, though, as a society, that if a guy says... Because he said the N-word in the one tape that they played about his wife. looked like she was dressed provocatively, sure, and she was going to get raped by a pack of the N-word. But if you say the N-word...
Since when have we started saying N-word?
Well, let's say whatever.
I know what you're saying.
If you say the N-word,
yeah,
you're considered evil. You beat a woman, we can forgive that. I don't understand why that... Why do we judge people by what they say and not the way they act?
I'll tell you
because
what.
Because to me,
it doesn't
make
sense.
I don't get why, you know, I think you... I'm not a... You know, if a guy says a derogatory, mm-hmm, you know, a racist term or something, it's not worse than actually physically harming somebody, is it?
No, and remember...
I don't think
it is. Remember, what, a couple years ago when Alec Baldwin was the worst enemy in the world?
Yeah. Because he yelled at his kid.
When Bill O'Reilly was playing his tapes and getting, this shows what a bad human he is. And now everybody loves Alec Baldwin again.
Now?
They're throwing Emmys at Alec Baldwin left and right. Right?
I guess.
He's on 30 Rock. Everybody thinks he's funny.
Some people might not like him,
people who don't like his politics, but right, that's a small number of people on the far edges that don't, you know, most people think Alec Baldwin's funny or whatever.
But he's now more known as a funny guy than a dramatist.
A
serious actor.
Whereas Mel Gibson, that's the other problem. Mel Gibson's last movie was called Edge of Darkness.
Yeah.
It was about a guy whose daughter gets killed, who's a cop, and then he goes on this insane rampage and, like, counts down the guys who did it. It was a pretty good movie, but nobody wanted to go out and see it.
Well.
Because it didn't have Danny Glover and Joe Pesci running around going, I'm too old for this shit. You know?
But what about, can you... I mean, you can't put him in a comedy.
Yeah, what is he going to do, Bird on a Wire 2?
You can't put him in a comedy either.
Right.
So what do you do with him?
You don't. Yeah. I mean, Mel Gibson is really... And I think it is the craziness, it's the religious wackiness...
That really turns
people off.
But maybe
look at Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tom Cruise is kind of...
The Scientology has really soured people on him. And his last movie, which was a perfectly fine movie, Night and Day... It wasn't great, but it was acceptable. And
people would have ate that shit up 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
They would have sucked it up with a straw. He did that shit on Oprah, and he danced up on the couch, and then those videos of him in Scientology came out. And that, I think your crazy religious beliefs are something people don't forgive. Remember Mitt Romney? Everybody thought Mitt Romney was going to be the nominee and was all hot.
Yes.
I said at the time, he's a Mormon. That's never going to fly. Now, Mitt Romney was also kind of boring.
Yeah,
but I think the Mormon thing really turned people off. There's a certain level in American society where your nutty religious beliefs will kill you. And it's something people don't even want to talk about, but I think it's there. I think that's what really stuck.
Yeah, people are kind of afraid of
they get turned off.
Because when you act, it's one thing to be religious, but then when you act crazy on top of being religious,
right,
that's what bothers people. People who are religious and calm and don't bother anyone.
No, because when you're crazy and religious, the religion starts to look like a mental illness.
Yeah.
And that bothers people, you know? I mean, they freak out about it. And that's my thing, what happened with Mel. I also think it was a conspiracy by Mel to get played on every morning radio show in the world.
He is going to,
those are the most drop-worthy clips.
Yeah. I think...
You got to blow me before you get the jacuzzi! I mean, come on. That's amazing. You couldn't pay for that stuff.
I personally am still a fan of the Pat O'Brien tapes.
That was one of our earliest shows.
One of our very first shows, and it was tremendous.
Has that kind of gone away? Do people forget about that?
No. Pat O'Brien is no longer... He's writing a tell-all now.
Okay.
With Andrew Morton, who did Princess Diana's book.
Oh, God.
So he's going after, like, Hollywood now, Pat O'Brien.
Okay. He's now a critic. He doesn't have a gig, does he?
No, he doesn't have a gig. But I saw him interviewed... talking about Lindsay Lohan's trouble.
That happens with guys sometimes.
Because he went through his alcohol thing, and now he's like an advocate for, you know, staying sober and 12 steps. But he's writing a book about Hollywood and how bad it is.
Remember what happened. Remember Bernie Goldberg? Bernie Goldberg? He's on Fox now.
Oh, yeah.
He was on, like, regular, you know, news operations. He was on, like, I don't know which one he was on, ABC or something like that. And then he basically got fired and now has become the media critic.
He's on HBO's Real Sports.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he does.
But when you see him on Fox, it's all about how corrupt and wrong.
Yeah,
he thinks
the media is wrong.
But that's because he got fired.
Okay.
And the same thing with Pat O'Brien.
Well, Pat O'Brien might be right.
They're probably both right.
Look,
but
Pat O'Brien.
They didn't start their career in media
Pat
criticism
O'Brien's
until they got fired.
Busted for coke and all this other shit and stuff. And it's like he knows where the bodies are buried. He can reveal some things.
God, if we had done some prep work, we could have had the Pat O'Brien tape.
I probably have a Pat O'Brien tape somewhere.
We could have had the Baldwin tape. We could have compared the worst and better.
What about the Christian Bale tape?
The Christian Bale tape. But that's on a set yelling at a guy.
Yes.
In a professional.
Right.
That's a guy. And stuff like that happens on a movie set.
Oh, I worked on a movie recently. That's why I can't really talk about it. But I did work on a big movie.
Yeah.
And guys were yelling at each other. And it was pretty good. Yeah.
I worked on a local no-budget TV show.
Yeah.
And we'd have blowouts every now and then. You know?
Yeah, and it wasn't like anything bad. Like, it wasn't. Christian Bale's thing was made it very personal. But there was a lot of, like, how come you're not set up for this? And it was guys.
You know, so weird. You don't think, you go, oh, you're making a movie. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
But once you get in that environment, you get on that set.
It's a pressure cooker.
And it is, and people lose their minds. And any kind of creative process. Guys yell at each other and start fights in comedy, which I think is funny.
Yeah, I know.
You and I have both gotten into close to
guys
physical altercations with people.
Screw up their intro and they want a fist fight or something.
Right.
It's crazy.
And you're sitting there going, we're telling jokes.
Yeah, I know.
Why are you being such a prickhole?
Right.
But guys get hot. They get any of this creative process makes people nuts. But that's a different thing. He's yelling.
Christian Bale's thing is not a personal thing.
Right.
It's a
Mel Gibson's yelling at the woman. He's the mother of his child, and she didn't blow him in the jacuzzi. And you know, that's it. Okay. So point one, he's crazy. Point two, he's got a point.
Blow your men.
Just give him some pussy. That's all you need to do. That's honestly it. You know, Dr. Phil has built an entire career with all this bullshit about you need to respect each other's faith. Blow him. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, that's.
Why don't we could be TV doctors?
Well,
we could be two chubby TV
Mel
doctors.
Mel Gibson is very much. Look, he's clearly an angry guy, but you know, a lot of guys are angry.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of you know, stuff that happens.
Yeah, a lot of guys are angry, but a lot of guys also don't have $50 million in the bank.
Guys yell at their wives. Guys yell at their kids. Yeah. Bosses yell at their employees. It's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
We can't sit here and say nobody should ever yell at anybody because shit wouldn't get done.
I think people just get incredulous because they think somehow being richer...
Everybody's happy.
...makes you better.
Yeah.
Now, we can both sit, and I'll sit here and go right now, I think a house in Malibu and $50 million in the bank...
Yeah.
I would probably be cool with that.
I'll give that lifestyle a spin, and maybe I'll want to come back to this.
Yeah.
Maybe
I
want
to live next to crackheads in Ferndale.
They left town.
That's true.
I live next now to a minimum of two rock bands. I'm not sure if it's three. There might be three rock bands, but
they're
it's
not
at least
directly
two.
Next door, but there were some kind of trashier people up the street I saw.
They're gone now, too. They just got evicted, yes.
Oh, good.
The people on the porch.
Oh, they're evicted?
Yes.
So they were moving their stuff?
No, their stuff was left on the lawn the other day.
Oh, wow.
So they're gone officially based on that. Wow. So that happens. But yeah, I mean, you know, I would give it. I would give, but that's the thing. You might be fine with having $50 million,
mm-hmm.
but you meet some chick and then she goes nuts.
Sure.
Because she can't handle it or whatever. Or, you know, your family might go nuts.
I will issue this statement.
How many celebrities have like a crazy... You know, mm-hmm. half brother who's embarrassing them, that they got to pay off and stuff.
Oh,
a
God.
Lot of trouble.
Look at the presidents.
Yeah,
like you know Roger Clinton.
Exactly.
Look at that alky money grubbing schnook, Billy Carter.
Yeah.
You know you can get to be president and still have a retarded family in the back.
There you go. Yeah. So there's no.
I don't know about
so even though you might get rich,
is Mel's dad
people
still
around you? Might I think Mel's dad is dead.
Okay, because Mel's this like pre 1960 Vatican Reformation Catholic. Mm-hmm. He's like this really hardcore Opus Dei kind of crazy Catholic, and his dad was like that.
Yes,
and a lot of this comes from his dad.
Yes,
and to which I say, hey Mel, what did your dad fucking do? Right, you're Braveheart.
Yeah,
you've achieved stuff.
Right,
don't live in your dad's shadow anymore.
Well, you know,
right.
What do you think Mel's dad sounded like? Where are those tapes?
Yeah, right, exactly.
They got to be every bit as bad as what we listened to.
They didn't
to
have the tapes
now.
Back. It was a reel-to-reel back then.
Look, you can't punch your...
this is amazing.
You can't punch your old lady in the face.
What really amazes
That's wrong.
Me, though, and I you can't. No.
I think we can all agree that's wrong.
Look, I think I will. This is brave. It's risky. And I think you'll second me on this.
Hmm.
Punching people, punching women in the face is wrong.
I think so. Yeah.
Can we come
out
and say
that?
I mean, that's a radical statement.
That's not, it's not acceptable. So I hope he didn't punch his woman in the face. And if he makes a good movie, I'll go see it. I don't even care.
Well, then you're not like the rest of the
party. I know, but people say that. I won't go to, you'll go.
But wait.
You just said Robert Downey Jr. is doing all this, but that's because he's making movies that people want to see.
Sure.
It's not like people forgave him. You think the person whose bed he was sleeping in when he was wandering around, stumbling around on heroin, that person's forgiven Robert Downey
also,
Jr.?
Also, though, most
but
of...
they might have went to Sherlock Holmes because they thought it was funny.
Most of Robert Downey Jr.'s legal problems were for drugs.
Okay.
They were for problems he caused to himself.
I understand that.
Right? His stumbling into people's houses. He wasn't actually hurting someone else.
Charlie Sheen beat up his girlfriend.
Hey, look at this way.
He pleaded guilty to it.
I bet we can go right now in the city of Detroit and find lots of people who will defend OJ.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We just drive a couple miles south here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we stop by a barbershop and we ask them if OJ did it.
Thumb out OJ. And
you know half the brothers in there will still say, you know, it didn't fit. They must have quit. They screwed a prosecution. Screwed
the police.
There are brothers out there that are still supporting OJ. Yeah. So I think this Mel Gibson thing will blow away. It'll be fine.
All right. So
I think he's tainted. I think it's not going to be ever the same for him.
I don't think it will either, but you know,
he's
never
also
know what
60,
people...
so it's not like his career.
But you know what? There's a lot of celebrities that are still alive in their 80s and stuff, and really, who have we really disgraced to the point where they're not around anymore? It's very hard.
Not anymore. I mean, it was something that used to happen.
But really? I mean...
Charlie Chaplin was kind of disgraced near the end.
Okay, but he was, you know.
Yeah. No, you have to go back to, like, Fatty.
But we don't
look
at Charlie Chaplin and go, we can't watch those movies.
You got to go back to, like, Fatty.
Woody Allen's career was kind of dragged through the mud, but, you know, people still will go to a good if Woody Allen makes a movie that people want to see, people will still go see
it. You know what happens? Woody marginalized himself.
Yes.
Woody went from having somewhat commercial success, like Hannah and Her Sisters. Mm-hmm. Things like that was probably his biggest money.
He was never that big anyway.
No.
Yeah.
Annie Hall and Hannah and Her Sisters were probably his two biggest moneymakers ever. Mm-hmm. But he went from being something of a mainstream personality to being an art house guy.
And the art house people haven't abandoned Woody Allen.
His market's getting smaller and smaller.
It's getting smaller, but he's also
Woody
Allen.
But that's also because his movies are blowing.
And he's old as hell, and the movies aren't as good.
And Mel is getting up into his 50s.
Sure.
He's actually only 54, I think. But did you know Joy Behar? You know how old Joy Behar is?
92.
I heard this the other day.
Don't tell me she's 47
no,
or something.
No, she's 67.
Okay, that makes sense.
I didn't think she was that old, though. I really didn't. And I'm like, that's old. She didn't start comedy till she was 40.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So anyway, that kind of blew me away. 67. Not that I think Joy Behar looks great
anything. If you want to move over, if we can move categories here.
Yes, sir.
Larry King is leaving CNN.
Speaking of old, dried-up fossils
who should
get out of the
Joy
business.
But Joy Behar is being rumored to be a possible replacement
now,
for Larry King.
Okay, do you have a list of the possible replacements?
Not off the top of my head. Pierce Morgan from America's Got Talent has been rumored that he would be in line. And they may just use a CNN personality like Anderson Cooper at that time slot. You know, Joy Behar
Anderson Cooper, can we get
on
over...
On headline news.
Can we get over this whole Anderson Cooper thing?
No.
He's never taken off.
Corey, listen, the man is dreamy, and he will, until he's not dreamy, he will always have a place in America's
Anderson Cooper, they just want a good-looking gay guy to stand on rubble. That's what they want. You know, if it's Iraq, if it's Haiti, if something's blown up and screwed to hell.
To send him there in a tight
t-shirt. Send Anderson Cooper over there in a little vest and put him on a hillside with some
rain. I agree. That's
what he's good at.
Yeah,
this
I know.
This whole Anderson Cooper as a personality.
You sit there and glisten in the sun and
No, he's a reporter. They're putting Christiane Amanpour on This Week.
Oh.
And I stupidly watch some of the Sunday political shows kind of in the morning we do that. And she's a reporter.
But she's the lead? She's
going to be
taking over
the host.
For Stephanopoulos?
She's taking over, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
That's going to be so bad.
Well, speaking of marginalized, who watches those things anymore?
Very few people.
Yeah,
because you know why? Because there's news networks that do that
do
all
it
day.
All
every
day,
day.
Yeah.
But
Larry King, here's my thing about Larry King. And this is a thing, and I've said this about Regis in the past. I don't know if I've ever really attack Larry. I talked about Larry King's marriage a couple weeks ago, but here's my thing.
You could put Regis on in there, but he's hardly any younger.
Well, my thing with Larry King is that the reality is Larry King, if you want to replace Larry King and get as good or better ratings, this is who you hire. I'm going to tell you a name. I'll give you two names. I'll give you three names.
Mm-hmm.
You can hire Joel Fragamenti. I would do as good as Larry King. Corey Hall, you would do as good as Larry King. All right, wherever you live, go two doors down your house from your street. Knock on the door. Whoever answers, whether it be an infant or an old lady, they will get good. And raise Larry King. He gets the word. He's the lowest rated prime. I believe he's the lowest rated CNN anchor. He's the low. He's he may or may not be lower than what's on MSNBC because MSNBC is kind of in the toilet too. But Fox kills them.
Yeah.
No. Other CNNs kill
him. MSNBC's beating CNN.
HLN, I think, even kills him. I think Nancy Grace, I think, does way better ratings than he does. So really,
no, MSNBC's beating CNN.
Then anybody can replace Larry.
Mm-hmm.
For that, he's... And then you go, well, who's going to do a good interview like Larry? Again, anyone. Because Larry reads his questions off a card. He doesn't ask follow-ups. You can talk to Larry King... And you'd be talking to Larry King about something, and you could just drop, you know, like if Mel Gibson dropped the N-word in the middle of an interview, Larry King wouldn't have a follow-up. he's clueless. Again, and I said this about Regis, like Larry King, people tune into Larry King's, they go, well, whatever the big story of the day, Larry King has, you know, the top guests and all this stuff. And the reason is...
you're going to die right on the air.
I'm going to replace Larry King.
Like Larry King, you're wheezing.
Listen.
Tacoma.
Larry King.
You're on the air.
He gets these people on and he asks them nothing. You watch Larry King for an hour, you learn nothing. You don't learn anything by watching his show. It's a worthless show.
I think, honestly...
It's garbage television.
I think a better replacement for Larry King would be Jay Leno.
You know what? Leno kind of missed the boat on that. I'll give you that.
I think that should have been him. You know who actually would be...
Leno should have, you know, not wanted... Leno should have walked away from NBC... Went to CNN and used some leverage to get the 9 o'clock.
You know what would be,
I agree with
you. You know what would be good, but they will never put on? Bill Maher.
Well,
but I would actually watch an interview show with Bill Maher.
Bill Maher would actually try and make it interesting.
Exactly.
And they don't want that. At least it doesn't seem like they want that.
CNN has seemingly not wanted anything interesting for...
But the other networks, Fox, I mean, look, you don't agree with their point of view, but those guys at least try to be provocative. You know, Hannity and O'Reilly, they try to be provocative.
I understand.
And the MSNBC people do, too. Right. Olbermann and Rachel Maddow try, and Nancy Grace tries, and I don't know what Joy Behar does, but she does something. She must be doing something good. I don't know.
You know, Joy Behar, it's a coffee klatchy thing.
Yeah.
But she's got a personality.
Sure.
I think Regis and Larry King represent this old era.
It's old broadcasters, yeah.
Larry King was a radio call-in guy.
Yes.
In a generic format, like for 50 years.
Well, he did the Dolphins radio broadcast.
Right.
He did those.
But see, those guys are being swept from the earth.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
The only modern guy I can think of who would be as vapid and pointless as Larry King is Joe Buck.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a good
one. That's the only, and his
Joe
show.
Joe Buck is that?
And by the way, his show got blown apart instantaneously.
Is it over now?
Well, it was dead coming out of the gate.
Okay.
Because the first thing
I was going to say Seacrest is that bad too, but
that's what Larry King wanted.
Oh, Jesus.
He wanted Seacrest.
Oh, fuck you, Larry.
You know why he wanted Seacrest? Because that's the only emptier suit than Larry King.
He's so bad.
He wanted Seacrest because people would go, Larry was pretty good. That's the only fucking reason you want Larry. Seacrest!
Seacrest is terrible.
So first of all, Seacrest couldn't get a cock out of his mouth long enough to fucking...
You know who he's...
Apparently he's banging a hot chick.
Wait a minute. I got something here.
Oh, you printed it out?
No. This is a blast. Don't worry about that. I got that. All right, listen.
Joel's...
I got...
The studio's turning more and more into a... It's kind of like a tinker's workshop in here.
You know what it is? Like that parts. You're not here every week doing the show.
I don't need to keep it organized or anything.
Yeah, the studio is now a mess. We did the Corey and Joel Bay Brackets 2008. That's what this piece of paper is.
Really? And how many did Seacrest bang?
This is mine. He's banging my winner.
Really?
Yes, he's banging the winner of my Bay Brackets.
Your voice
this
is going out.
Because I did radio last night.
Oh, my God.
And I blew it out.
Now you sound like Jackie Martling.
Hey.
Oh!
Hey. Use your finger. Hey, Here's who he's banging.
You know that's irresistible to do.
Hey,
I used to get annoyed when Howard would do that all day long.
Yeah,
but doing the Jackie voice, it's great.
He's banging my number one.
Who told me the other day that they're putting a record out on Olio? Some comic told me they were putting a record out on Olio, and I was like, "Yeah, Jackie Marling." Yeah. They were like, "They made a fortune out of that."
He's banging Julianne Hough from Dancing with the Stars. That was my number one.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, my number one like chick.
No, no,
won the Babe Rally.
Nobody has had photo ops with hotter chicks than Ryan Seacrest,
and he's making out with her on a boat. I was seeing the other day.
Remember he kicked Terry Hatcher to the curb. Like, I don't need this. Get out of here.
Do you want to go through my 08 babe brackets and see which ones?
Not really, but let's go ahead.
Because I'm telling you, things change. Change quickly.
Oh, I looked at a Deadpool list from like 2007.
And they're probably all dead now.
By the way, yeah, we're at 100%.
Yeah, I know.
From that list.
Like Alicia Cuthbert was my runner-up.
Where is she?
And I've seen her on the beach in a bikini. She's all fat
really?
Now. She's not even hot.
Disappeared.
Yeah. Who else did I
have? You know who's probably on my list who has not been heard from and has disappeared off the face of the earth? Thora Birch. What happened to her?
Yeah, I don't know where she even was on here. I mean, well, I think Zooey Deschanel would have won this year, this 2008.
Didn't she win the last time we did it?
Well, when you did it, yeah. Oh. I mean, individually.
She won my bracket once. I'm sure.
Yes, I think she did. And but yeah, Kristen Bell was in my top four, which I don't even get that now.
By the way. Kristen Bell grew up in Huntington Woods.
Yes.
And a girl that I
dated.
A girl that I dated put up like a picture of Kristen Bell in like, I don't know, like fifth grade.
Oh, really?
Like home ec class.
Like she was your age then. Or she was Kristen Bell's age.
She's a couple years younger than me, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kristen Bell's about 3 or 4 years younger than me.
Okay.
And I thought that was really funny.
Oh, there you go.
Oh.
Yeah, Kristen Bell, this is an old, anyway.
Oi.
An old Bay bracket. I found that. But not Ryan. You know, he's hitting that. It's like, come on, Seacrest. Whatever.
Seacrest out.
Douchebag. Speaking of Leno, you want to see something cool? Well, I got.
Oh,
can I
got?
Change? Are we done with Larry King?
Larry King blows. Good night. It's amazing that he did a dumb radio format for 30 years.
No, it
and
is.
And was popular.
I will give him credit for that. I took a picture. This is going to be on the front page of JoelRadio.net this week.
God.
So make sure. To listen, I took this for you. Can you see that?
It's you flicking off Fred Travellino.
It is, yeah, there it is.
Does that look like Fred Travellino more than Jay Leno?
That is, well, here's the thing. I went to a...
Don't tell me that doesn't look like Fred Travellino.
It kind of does, but I don't think they had a Fred Travellino at Louis Tussauds Wax Museum.
Am I the only guy in the world who remembers Fred Travellino?
He died, didn't he, recently?
Yeah.
Fred Travellino? But that is me giving Leno the finger.
That's a terrible Leno.
It's a bad Leno. The some of these were...
Oprah.
Yeah, I mean, the
wax... Now, Oprah's on the right, right?
That's my girlfriend.
I'm kidding.
Left,
it's a joke.
Motherfucker. But that's Elvis.
Why is he in a hospital coat?
Well, he's serving drinks at a diner where Bogey and Marilyn Monroe
are. Oh, that's the... Marilyn's terrible.
Yeah, the wax museum is... The
Three Stooges, that's funny.
I got a good one. Let me go back to this because yeah, we went to Niagara Falls.
Heather's going over the falls there.
Yeah, Heather's.
You got the
here's
three
me.
Stooges.
This I could put this up too if you want. There.
Oh, there you are. Now where's the Tommy?
I'm at the John and Yoko bed inn.
At the bed
I'm
inn,
sitting
in
the
in
bed,
Montreal. Yeah,
with John and Yoko.
Now where's Tommy Smothers? Did they make a wax Tommy Smothers?
Tommy Smothers. Yeah, I know he was playing the guitar too, but. There's some other.
Now, there's a Beatles trivia factoid for you.
Well, yeah, he's playing the guitar on.
Yeah, it's John and Tommy Smothers on Get Beat.
But they had some cool. Look at that thing. Look at the alien they had there.
That the alien's on the left.
Would you stop?
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
It's my girlfriend.
Heather's sticking her tongue out, which is kind of in mocking of the alien.
In mocking of the alien, yeah.
Yes.
And then, you know, I did some fun stuff.
There you go.
I looked up Dorothy's dress from the Wizard of Oz.
Did they throw you out of there for that?
No, I don't know. We went there very late. They were close to closing.
Yeah, there's nobody in there.
There was nobody really in the wax museum, but...
yeah, that's good.
But here, if you want to see something bad, there I am in the... there I am in the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
That's great.
Next to a Michael J. Fox that's real bad.
It's not good.
No, it's not good. But the interior of the car was good, too. Look,
that's nice.
That was the interior, so.
Did you see some... There was some goof with Back to the Future where people said it predicted it was the date.
The date was he went. They said in when they went back to the future, like in part two, they went to 2015,
mm-hmm.
not 2010. But somebody put that on Twitter,
uh-huh.
and it spread like today was the day
they were kinda,
that they came back.
Yes,
but it wasn't.
So look, be on the lookout for Marty.
Be on the lookout in 5 years.
Because
but yeah,
fictional characters are going to come back.
But yeah, I don't
so,
know.
So you guys went to Niagara Falls.
Yeah, we went to the Wax Museum. There's
and that's Saddam.
Me giving Saddam Hussein the finger. I don't know. There's a lot of...
There's a Saddam Hussein wax.
The, okay, I don't have pictures of all these, but there was a Monica Lewinsky.
Sure.
There was a Hitler.
Yeah.
That you know, opposable Hitler.
Is that Chris Farley? What is that?
Let me see what do we got here. No, one of them's...
Wait, what's the one next to Spock?
That's John Candy.
Oh, John Candy.
Candy. He looks dead in the fifth inning.
That's actually John Candy.
It's actually...
Joel, they just embalmed him.
See,
that doesn't look like Shatner at all.
No, but the Nimoy's good.
Yeah, the Nimoy's, that doesn't look like
the
Shatner
The Nimoy's
at all.
Good. That's the Travolta.
That doesn't look very good.
And there's my Leno.
The John and Yoko were pretty good.
John Lennon's not great. It's okay.
Oh, look, from over here, he looks good.
Yeah, well, Yoko is so bad looking that you can't.
Then Michelle Pfeiffer was good.
Yeah, the Catwoman. Here's Barack.
Barry O looks good.
You like Barack? Well, you see Bill and Hillary in the background there?
Oh, that's nice. What is she?
She's
kissing the ring?
She's taking a joint from Barack
Obama.
I see what
she's doing there. That's great. He does. He's got his fingers together like he's
Well, he's doing one of the... You know how he talks?
With
how he
points
in his speeches? Mm-hmm. That's what they were trying to do with Obama.
I don't think that Obama's
but
that
bad. You could have sat on a couch with George W., so you could have, like, teabagged George W.,
People who work at the Maxie Museum, I got to come through like once a day and go, please take your nuts out of President Bush's mouth.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that. I mean, here I am. Well, this is, they put Tiger Woods out
that's
on the
terrible.
They put Tiger out on the street. Here's the thing with those. The Wax Museum itself is very, the lights are kind of dim.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can't tell how bad they are.
Well, but then when you do like flash photography on them.
They show up weird.
Yeah, they show up looking weird. So
surprised they'd let you take pictures in there.
Oh, yeah, they totally do.
Yeah.
They totally do.
There's JP the Deuce.
There's
Lucy.
Yeah.
Lucy's pretty good.
Yeah, the Lucy's not bad. So some of them, they were a varying quality.
There's Joel with an extra from Battlefield Earth.
There's Michael Jackson.
Oh.
But here's they had this too. They had this.
The death mask of Hitchcock?
No, they were life masks.
Yeah.
And they had all of these all over the museum. And then
That's
there was.
Kind of disturbing. You look
well, there
dead.
Was this hidden hallway. I took a picture of it with black lights.
Mm.
And it's all of these, like, neon-painted life masks. Like, when people do a prosthetics in
That
movies.
Looks like Superman the movie when they went to the Phantom Zone. It's very
But
disturbing.
Look at Chris Walken.
Hi.
How creepy is that?
It is creepy.
And that's my girlfriend next to him. There's Sigourney Weaver. And there's me and Danny DeVito's life mask. It's kind of weird, huh?
That is creepy.
But, yeah. But we did all the Niagara Falls stuff. We did the Maid of the Mist and... But you know, if you want to see pictures from that, there I am in my goofy raincoat.
How about them apples?
Yeah, you know, did that. Good stuff. Good weather. Went to Toronto as well. Let me show you this hotel room I had, though. You got to see what I had. Bought this hotel room. This is the view from the hotel room. You see that?
Wow.
Yeah, we were
That's right over the falls.
Right over the falls. We were staying at what's called. It's called the Tower Hotel.
Wow.
It used to be the Minolta Tower.
Can you hear the falls from
Yeah,
there?
If you open the window, this window up here slid. You see, that's Heather
mm-hmm.
looking overlooking the falls there. So, yeah, it was good stuff.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was expensive, but it was worth going.
I don't look. That is a far better view than I had this weekend at the Fairfield Marriott Inn in Port Huron.
So, yeah, we went to Niagara Falls. Yeah. That was fun. What else did we do? Well, and then we went to Toronto, where... Do you want to hear this story? I told this on the Funhouse last night.
So oh, God.
Heather was there.
We'll get a second. We'll get a replay
story. We went to this it was 85 degrees. We went to this island and rode bikes.
Okay.
Which I hadn't ridden a bike in like 20-something years because I knocked my teeth out when I was a kid. But there I am on a bike, and
okay.
I did all right. I had a mountain bike, and I was riding around good. But they had a clothing optional beach.
Wow.
And so I said to my girl, I said, well, look. I've never been to a nude beach.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in going and, you know, whatever. If you want to go, I'll go. And so a couple Smirnoff ices later, next thing you know.
Yeah. Really? There are pics of that? Where
no, there's no pics of that because, but, you know, Lake Ontario.
Where's the photos of that?
Let me just say this. I jumped in the lake.
Lake Ontario's not that warm.
Lake Ontario's cold as shit.
Yeah.
I was fucking naked.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people around.
Yeah.
And my penis has never been
shrivelly.
It was the smallest. It was the tiniest.
Tiny little dot.
It's never been smaller. Really? I'm not saying I have like the world's biggest cock.
No, but cold water has an effect.
This Lake Ontario had to be 60 degrees.
You pulled a George Costanza?
It was the worst one.
Tucked and covered? I'll tell you, I went to a nude beach once.
Did you really?
In San Francisco.
Okay.
I was.
Well, yeah, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
I was at this beach in San Francisco, and I was like 21, or this was before I went to China.
Okay.
It's a long time ago. And so I'm like hanging out at this beach, and a couple people told me that there was a nude beach nearby.
Yeah.
Somebody we knew or staying with or something.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm talking to this French guy and his super hot girlfriend on the beach.
Yeah.
And they're like, there is a nude beach on the other side. We must get to it. And I'm sitting there, and the girlfriend's got this thong and she looked great. And I went, I'm all for it.
Let's do it.
But you couldn't get to the beach because there was like rocks. There were like all these big jutting rocks.
Yeah.
And we at one point tried to climb over. So I'm in there standing with this French dude and his girlfriend with their thong hanging out, trying to climb over these rock formations.
did you make it?
No. And then we turned out you had to go up the hill
and
find this path that was hard to find.
It was kind of like that in Toronto, too. There were signs for it.
And then when you get down to the end of the nude beach, after you go up this, hike up this hill, find this weird little path and follow it all the way down, it was like a tannery in Miami Beach. It was like
all old folks,
old leathery bastards.
Yeah, there was a lot of that, and there was tons and tons and tons of gay guys.
Yeah,
tons of gay guys walking around naked.
There wasn't a lot of gay. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there were, but
yeah, it was tons of gay. I mean, I
got excited by this French guy's hot girlfriend, and I get over the hill, and it's Rue McClanahan.
Yeah, it was slowly
being turned into a leather purse.
It was a lot of old naked boxes laying on the beach, and it was It was not great. I mean, it was
Nude beach, ixnay.
Well, here's the thing: there must have been 1,000 people on this beach, but where you're at, you're only seeing as far as I can see, and it wasn't like it was that dense. It was a big long beach, so you know, in my proximity, there were like 2 chicks that were hot and that were topless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my girlfriend was laying there too, and you know, so. I mean, it was.
So she whipped him out, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
She wore the bottom. Bottom.
Did you have to lotion her up first?
I think we just jumped right in the water. I don't know if we did any lotion.
You didn't spray tan?
No. We had lotioned up the exposed parts before because we didn't know we were going to the beach.
Well, you got to cover up all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's a lot of suntan oil.
She had some bigger hooters on the beach. Yeah, it was nice.
Wow.
So we went to the nude beach, and you know what? It wasn't that great.
She whipped him out, huh?
Whipped him right out.
Oh, Amy would never do that.
No?
No.
No? I mean, because we're like, we don't know any. And then it was weird because we're sitting there and some lady's walking her dog topless. And she comes over to us. And this lady wasn't like, you know, she was probably in her early 40s or something.
Yeah.
But she was just sitting there talking to us. I'm naked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting on a towel naked. Heather's got her tits out.
Pip hanging out.
There's
Really?
Her wet dog is sniffing around. I'm like, I don't want to pet the dog because I'm naked, and I don't want to, you know, I think petting a dog nude is almost.
No! You don't pet a dog nude?
Yeah, that's wrong.
Are you insane?
Right, so I didn't.
Really?
But it was, you know, I like a cute, fluffy dog, and this is a little Cairn Terrier.
You almost had wiener on wiener crime.
Yeah, it was bad, because, you know, the dog can go crazy, and my dick's out, and you don't want to do
that. What happens when a bitch smells a bitch? Do they get wild? They get crazy?
Yeah, so this girl was, like, just talking to us about, you know, where we're from, and blah, blah, blah.
Was it a terrier?
It's a Cairn Terrier, a little white dog, a little fluffy white guy.
Oh, jeez.
And he had just been in the lake.
Sure.
So he was all wet. And the lady's topless talking to us, like, where are you from? What are you doing in town? What do you think of the beach? This is nice. And I'm sitting there naked going, yeah, I don't want to make small talk.
Oh, God.
Like, I don't know. She was, maybe she was, you know, good to go or something. I don't know. But there was no going. No one was going anywhere. If she was good to go, we didn't go. Let's just say that.
Well, you could have gone.
I don't know what her problem was. I think she was more interested in, you know, Tits McGee sitting next to me.
I bet she was. Well, I mean, those are impressive.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I'll tell you what. Nude beaches, just a safety
tip. Nude beaches.
Unless you're in, like, Ibiza, you know, unless you're in, like, the south.
Well, yeah. Unless south in,
like,
of France,
the south of France,
Greece, or somewhere like sure. that.
I bet there's
South
some,
Pacific.
Oh, I bet Greece has got fucking incredible nude beaches.
I'm sure they
I
do.
Bet it's amazing.
But
I bet there's some in like Bimini or something. Or,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, the Turks and Caicos.
Yeah.
But if you're going to a nude beach in Ontario, good luck.
Yeah, it was
that's
in Toronto.
Good luck.
If you're in Toronto, you want to know what I'm talking about. I went to the. This is on the Toronto Island Park, Hanlon's Point. You got to take the ferry. No pun intended.
Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum.
But anyway, there's our skyline view from Toronto. There
Toronto, yeah. Nice. CN Tower.
There's yeah. So there's Yonge Street. We were right off Yonge Street.
Sure.
And yeah, there you go.
It's a lovely town.
Yeah, expensive now because the exchange rate. The hotel front desk was changing money. We were getting 98 cents for an American dollar.
Wow.
So it's gotten really. Like, you used to go to Toronto for
you
like,
get $1.50 for a
yeah,
dollar.
It was so yeah. fucking cheap. Although, here's something that, and this is more show related. You see me there enjoying a delicious Swiss Chalet chicken dinner. And I that is something we don't have in America. And I recommend the Swiss Chalet if you're in Canada.
Okay.
It's a sit-down restaurant, but it's not. It's almost fast food. I think some of them might even be fast food.
Was it like this a one, Boston Market kind of deal?
Yeah, but it like you're served by a waiter. Okay. But it's very like inexpensive. It's inexpensive, but it's rotisserie chicken with sides. And there I am after the long bike ride, cleaning my plate.
There you go.
Having a great time. All so right. Go get yourself some Swiss Chalet.
Woo!
That's what I recommend.
Oh, Canada.
So
our home on native
skip
land.
The nude beach. Go to the wax museum.
Yeah, load up on toonies and loonies, eh?
Go to the Swiss
you know,
Chalet.
I found a $10 Canadian bill sitting around the apartment the other
oh,
day.
Oh, there you go.
Should I go cash that in? It'd probably be, you know.
It's worth more than when you bought it, probably. You know what I mean?
That was the worst.
You probably paid $6 for
when
it.
When I used yeah. to do comedy gigs in Canada,
oh, yeah.
one club switched to paying Canadian money.
Yes.
And they didn't tell me. Like, I'd yeah. played the club before.
Right.
It was Yuck Yucks, which is not in Windsor anymore.
Yes.
And I'd played it a couple times before and had gotten U.S. currency. Mm-hmm. And then they suddenly switched to Canadian.
Yeah, that
and
was
I was
working,
like,
yeah.
hey, this $2.75 Canadian is not worth it.
Yeah, I remember we were getting, I want to say we got $2.50 Canadian at the one club.
Something like that.
At the Comedy Corner.
For like, it was only two nights. It was like two
But it was like, it ended up being nothing.
Right.
Like, you took it to the border and you were and you paid your tolls and mm-hmm. you were like, oh, fuck, I got nothing. But now it's like, I guess it's probably worth working in Canada.
I wanted to go to the casino and see if I could double it, because it was
yeah,
really,
it was
like nothing there.
It was
there.
Bad, but go to Swiss Chalet. I recommend. That's,
yeah.
That's some good, look at that chicken.
Mm-hmm. That yeah. and needing a new passport is another problem.
Yes, you have to have a passport. You don't have to get a special passport.
No, my passport's expired and I can't find it.
Oh.
And it's cheaper if you can find your old passport and renew it.
Oh, I see, yes.
Than getting a new one.
You have to call them and
the new one's get a pain new. In the ass.
Is it? Yeah.
It's expensive.
Yeah, we have passports, but we still got harassed coming back from the
States.
Or
you could get that
from Canada.
That stupid special license.
Well, the thing about that at the border now to come into America, if you have that card, like you wave it. And it I guess
like a speed
beats. I don't think it's. I don't think they just let you through. I think they still have to talk to you,
mm-hmm.
or they have to make sure that it's you or something, or whoever's in the car. But I think it speeds up the process. Yeah, it's got like a radio frequency chip in it.
Can I get a card that says white person from America? Can I get a card that says that?
I mean, to me, you know, I think the guy
can
might
I just please get a cracker card.
Yeah, I mean, we had no problem getting into Canada, coming yeah. home. You know, the guy was like, what do you do for a living? And I told him I was a comedian, and I think that set off a red flag.
Oh, don't do that.
That maybe I was working.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I told him we'd been to Toronto, Niagara Falls. Look, I got a whole bunch of pictures from fucking CN Tower and all these places.
The last thing that you tell a border guard is that you're a comedian.
Yeah.
Bob Phillips just got pulled over and hassled.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
Yeah. So. Oh, no, and that's the other thing. When I was doing gigs in Windsor, I'd have to come up with an excuse like three nights in a row.
Yes, you have to say you're going to the casino, and then you go.
Hope you don't
nights.
Get the same border guard.
Yeah, no, but I think they don't. They have records of when you last crossed the border or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
So when you're working over there, you got to fake it.
You got to kind of yeah. It's weird
because they're not putting you up in Windsor because it's right over the bridge.
Yeah, they don't put you up, and it's right. But the Americans are now the assholes. It used to be the Canadians.
Oh sure,
we're dicks, and you coming back? It'd be like, hey, I'm from the U.S. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, now
the
party's
US
over.
People are way up your dick hole.
We want
No fun.
And then Heather took a shrink ray and was...
Isn't that a great picture?
Look, there's an oversized chair.
We went to a... There was a petting zoo on this thing that had oversized Adirondack chairs.
Wasn't that like... what was it? Lily Tomlin used to do that
The Incredible
bit?
Shrinking Woman?
No, she did a bit where she was a little girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and she'd
yeah.
sit in a giant oversized chair.
There I am. I look tiny?
Not so much.
I still look like a big fat slob.
But it's a big chair.
It's a giant chair.
Yeah.
It's funny.
That is funny.
Oh. But yeah, so that was my vacation. Toronto, Niagara Falls, good times. Nude beaches.
We went to Canada once with our friend Kanto, who was Japanese, and his English not very good.
Yes.
Nor his Japanese wasn't very good either. We so came to find out. His family basically sent him here because he was an idiot. But, you know, we thought he was funny. He was kind of like the Japanese baby Huey, and we thought he was amusing.
Gori-san.
But we went over with Kanto, and we had to, like, fake... I think we... this is now apocryphal.
Did you say he was American?
No. Like, they said, where are you from? And I think we lip-synced. That's the story. I don't remember if this actually
happened. They used to not even check an ID.
Yeah.
They used to just ask you where you were from. You say, U.S., 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 where are you going? Yeah. We're going to the bar, and they'd let you into Canada.
Sure. You'd say the Tunnel Barbecue or whatever.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
There you go.
Fuck.
Yeah. Five-pin bowling.
What would we say? The Windsor Music Cafe, that was a big one.
The Windsor.
It was the old days.
Well, see, you can drink in Canada when you're 19.
Right, we used to go. It was fun.
And I spent a lot of time in Windsor between the ages of 19 and 21, and then never had a need to go back.
Yeah, once you're 21, you just go.
Because it's also full of 19-year-olds that are puking on your shoes, and there's no, you don't want
to
be
around.
Yeah,
the bars are kind of amateur hour over there.
They really are.
They're not as good as, you know.
It's fun when you're 19.
It's great when you're
19. You're like, woo, I can drink in Windsor, goddammit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
So that's what we did there.
That's a very specific story for people who live in Detroit.
Well, hey, border towns, you know, like we're in Niagara Falls, and people from, you know, they come over for the Cuban cigars, and there's casinos now in Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm.
And they're all,
there's a lot of stuff.
They're all nude in their strip clubs.
They're all nude in the strip clubs. There's those in Toronto, and Niagara Falls has some as well. So,
not to get off on a tangent, but did you hear about the 15-year-old that was stripping?
Yeah, you know, I heard a little bit on sports talk radio, so I didn't get the best quality. I didn't get the best source for the story.
Detroit is down one revenue stream because they padlocked the All-Star topless.
Yeah, club. I heard that they were at a problem with that place.
No, it's been shut down, and they put a padlock on it because they hired a 15-year-old.
You can't do that?
Then allegedly she went and worked at another club up the street. I got to get a picture of this girl.
I mean, what is that?
That's who you want at the nude beach, right? The 15-year-old?
15-year-old white girl? Not black girl?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I never got
It's hard to say, yeah.
I never
got
any race or ethnicity.
Well, we need to get into this.
Not really.
No.
Not literally. Not like Mel Gibson in the hot tub.
Hey.
Wish we had a drop right now.
Good blow.
Oh, man.
You're a pain in my ass!
Apparently, that's what she said. To the cop that arrested her.
You know, you just got to go.
But then, do strip clubs, are they like comedy clubs where they barely acknowledge each other's existence? Like comedy clubs, they're kind of like rivals. And so you get the impression that they once in a while will sort of talk to each other.
Yeah.
But there's no collusion amongst
Yeah, I don't know.
Clubs.
But I thought in Detroit you had to have like a stripper license.
You had to have a license, but apparently that didn't stop these guys from letting her
work.
But
how do you hire somebody?
I don't know if she was working full-time? I think she was. It wasn't like amateur night. So she must have had a fake ID.
Did you start right after school?
Unbelievable. I don't know. She was like, history class is over. Let me go over and...
Let me go strip.
Start going over the body rocks.
Slap dance time.
Unbelievable.
Well, it's Detroit.
I never went to that club.
When you talk about the city is falling apart,
yeah,
there you go.
I'm not a big strip club guy to begin with.
Neither am I.
Because I feel like I'm throwing money away. But once in a while for a special event...
Well, I went for a bachelor party a year and something ago.
Yeah.
And then me and my girlfriend went to the thing. I think I probably told
one time we went to a strip club with PJ and I, and Joel forgot his license.
I did, yes.
And Joel was like 26 at the time. And
I was.
And they still.
I think was probably 28 years old.
They still wouldn't let you in.
And they were like,
that
no.
was the worst part.
No, go fuck yourself.
They wouldn't let you in.
Well, it's great that I was 28. I couldn't get into a strip club.
And there was no liquor.
But a 15-year-old could work there. Fucking shit.
See, because of our crazy, prudish, anarchic...
It's crazy society.
Our stupid rules.
Yeah.
If you're all nude, you can't serve alcohol.
Yeah.
Although, oh, Russ Brown and I judged a contest at that same club.
Oh, that's
once.
Right. Yes, you told
that
me
was
that.
Great. I would do that again in a heartbeat. But that I felt special. But yeah, strip clubs.
Yeah, no.
But
good.
Now I kind of want to see this 15-year-old. Now I kind of want to know.
You kind of want to go like,
what's doing with that?
Like, how did that? How did guys not go like, how old is she?
She apparently did not look 15.
Huh?
Like, okay, pervs put up pictures of Miley Cyrus in bikinis all the time.
Yeah.
And she looks like she's 16.
She's 17.
Is that what she is?
She's 17? Legitimately oh. 17.
So she's edging towards...
she's almost...
I think she's a legit legal. In Michigan, right?
Like, Taylor Momsen is like 16, though.
Isn't 16 legit in Michigan?
It might be. There's laws. I don't know what the...
Yeah.
You can go to a website and look it up.
Sure.
Not that I have. All right, let's move along. Who cares about strippers?
Not that I have.
It's an hour into the show.
I'm just saying that's a good story.
Let's do a couple TV things, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yes, sir.
Big Brother is back. You haven't seen it, you said.
You know what? I saw promos and then didn't realize that it started.
It started. I would say, based on the first two episodes, you haven't missed anything. They do have a saboteur. Now, they've done this before with America's Player, where the guy was like, he would vote for whoever America told him to vote for, and he would do things. But this saboteur is actually in the game not to win.
Right.
In other words, they are ineligible from winning the grand prize. But if they make it to, like, the halfway point, they get $50,000.
Okay.
But the idea is they have to fuck with everybody else.
What if they get to the finals?
I don't know. They may just leave the game at the midway point. I'm not sure. They haven't really been clear on that.
I'd leave. You know what? If they can last, leave them in there the whole
time.
Well,
but I think the idea is if you leave them in there last, then there's no competition if they were to be in the finals. Like, you still have to have a final where it's this person or that person. But they have not revealed to the home viewers who the saboteur is.
Okay.
But they will be doing that this Thursday, which is tomorrow night's episode of Big Brother. So it's on tonight, and it's on tomorrow night.
I wax and wane with my Big Brother.
Yes. I'll tell you what, there's...
Does this
there's,
one worth look worth and look like it's worthwhile
well,
at Showtime?
There's a... I have the Showtimes on the DVR. I haven't even watched the overnights one. Based on the show, the chicks... Okay, you always got to go buy hot chicks.
Mm-hmm.
This show has a couple.
Okay.
Is it better than anything you've ever seen before? No. It's hardly the best year for chicks.
Well, look... Big Brother reached its apex when they had the strip night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When they actually had a speaking of strippers,
girls got naked.
They
on
had
the
an
show,
actual
yeah.
stripper in the
and
building.
And you saw it on Showtime.
And eventually,
amazing.
Her stripper nature overcame.
Yeah, and she
the
got
fact
naked,
that she was on television.
She got other one other.
She convinced
naked.
All the other girls to get naked, and they were all in the tub.
One of the hot chicks is up for eviction already, though, so that's kind of a bummer. There's an Orthodox Jew. Not like a...
That's all, you know, that's how I knew Big Brother was on?
Yeah.
Because on The Soup or something,
yeah.
They played a clip of her saying he had a Yamaha or something.
Yeah, like she called it a... I forgot what she called it. A Yom Kippur.
A Yom Kippur.
She called it a Yom Kippur.
Yes.
But it's... He's not a Hasidim. He's a regular-looking white Jew
guy. He's just a conservative Jew.
He has to eat kosher. He can't eat from... He had to bring his own pot to cook in and shit like that, you know. So he's, you know, kind of different...
He's not like Matisse Yahu. He's not like bearded.
No, he's not a big
but he's
bearded.
He's not a reform Jew. He's a conservative Jew.
He's a very conservative.
I work strictly with reform Jews. That's my market.
Because
the conservative Jews all have this desire to stay within the family and the bloodline.
Yes.
A lot of pressure. Reform girls,
they
want
a
party.
Yeah.
So
Big Brother, based upon my thing, my thumb is kind of in the middle. I usually watch Big Brother.
How many fingers, Joel?
Oh, the five-finger scale? Well, right in the middle has got to be three, right?
Okay,
so
three fingers.
Three fingers. So not you know.
A three-finger job.
I mean, I enjoyed the game of Big Brother, but a lot of the stuff was dumb because it's like, who wants to see my head of household room? And it's the same. Like, these shows have a certain pattern.
Yeah,
of,
it's...
And it, they do
and
that.
And then they're on slop.
And then the eviction ceremony, which is the same. And all this false drama.
I know they're bringing in... Julie Chen was on Craig Ferguson the other night. So I guess they're going to... Are they going to do that again when they talk to Craig Ferguson?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. But, Julie Chen is there and not present.
Is that
this
over
year,
in the rest of the world?
Big Brother?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I thought the UK version was canceled. Wait a minute.
I think
no,
UK
that's not true.
Canceled.
Somebody picked it up because I did a search for Big Brother on Google News, and I got a bunch of headlines from the UK. So somebody must have picked it up.
But it kind of burned out over
there. Yeah, it kind of burned out. And you know what? It's never been as big here as it's been in other places.
Yeah.
Like, American Idol is probably the biggest reality show here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's safe to say. maybe followed by like Survivor or I don't know what else would be real big.
America's Got Talent.
The Bachelor maybe would be a big one that everyone.
God, that is the stupidest.
The Bachelor is the dumbest thing ever. So Big Brother's okay. Last Comic Standing.
Speaking of dumb reality shows,
I haven't even kept up with it. I watched the audition shows. They narrowed it down. They sent everybody to Vegas to whittle it down. I stopped watching, well, but I have the potential of seeing it.
What they did, a couple things I liked this year on Last Comic Standing, and I know all comics obsess about Last Comic Standing, even though they all talk about, a lot of comics will give lip service to the fact that they don't like it.
I don't like it.
But they'll all talk about it, and they'll all watch it.
I stopped watching it because I found I didn't enjoy the two that I watched.
Here's the format. What they did is, this show's had, what, four different producers?
Yeah, it's a bunch of different production companies, different hosts.
It changes all the time.
Different form. Oh, the format's different every time.
Can you name hosts? All right, Jay Mohr.
Jay Mohr did two or three of them.
Two or three. Anthony, what's his name?
Anthony
Clark.
Anthony Clark.
Was there somebody after Anthony Clark?
Bill Bellamy.
Was there somebody else, though?
I don't know.
Didn't Joe Rogan do it or something?
No, I don't think Joe Rogan ever did it.
Bill Bellamy, and now we're got Craig Robinson.
It was Joe Bellamy, Bill Bellamy and Fear and Cotton.
Oh, all right.
Can't believe you've forgotten Fear and Cotton.
Well,
she gave so much to that show.
Mm-hmm. Bill Bellamy ought to be Fear and Cotton, because if this was 150
years. All right. Now, hey. Look, Mel.
This is 150 years ago. He'd be picking it, the no talent. Fuck.
Oh, stop.
What? Shut up. That's a good line.
Did Mario Joyner host it? Every third rate 90s comic is hosting the show.
The half hour comedy. Hey,
who else hosted it?
I believe Wayne.
Who?
No. Who was the guy who used to do
Wayne Brady?
Wayne Brady. No, I'm talking about before that. The guy who did. Paul Provenza, did he host it?
Oh, by the way, Paul Provenza has a new show on Showtime that's funny.
Really?
It's called The Green Room, which is ironic because you and I did a pilot called The Green Room.
We did it
for radio.
We did a radio pilot called The Green Room.
But it's him and comics shooting the shit, and it's funny.
Can I say, if I have one regret in my career?
Yes.
It was that when we were working on The Green Room,
yeah,
I didn't get a finger in our producer.
Well, we had a what was her name? Anyway?
I don't know, but she seemed like she was good to go.
She was ready.
She seemed like she was ready to party.
She was a
and then
she was an Earth child. She was ready to know
why we didn't get her in the hot tub.
She would have been nude. She sat here once and watched us do the show and
didn't speak.
And was like she was like right. I could
she was like giggling.
If I reached my hand out, I could have grabbed her tits.
What was her name?
I don't even remember.
They gave us a producer.
We should. Hit her up. See what she's doing.
I don't know what she's doing,
I don't
but
know either.
She was totally into it.
She was she did like, I don't know what her deal was. She was a web producer, I think.
Right. And then we worked with this guy.
Yeah.
Do we ever talk about that on the show? I'm sure we did.
I don't know.
We did a pilot that went nowhere.
It was for a new comedy. It was going to be like the iTunes of comedy was the idea.
Yes. It was going to be an iPhone app kind of deal.
You were going to be able to download comedy bits.
And we basically did, we had a big meeting. We had a couple big meetings.
Yes.
And then they assigned us a producer.
Yes.
And we taped a couple episodes.
Well, we taped one for sure, right?
I think we did two. I think we did like a two demos.
But the one, apparently, the girl recorded it and then the guy didn't like it.
Well, they had listened to our podcast and then we did a cleaner, then we did a cleaner version. As another demo for them.
Oh, did we?
And then we did an official one with the producer.
Okay, I know what you're saying. We did a demo on our own, and then we did one with them.
We worked with that producer girl for a few weeks.
Yeah, but basically, the guy who was going to be the money man behind it all, his deal was he listened to the show that we did with their equipment and whatever.
And didn't like it.
And didn't like it when it was the exact same goddamn fucking thing we've been doing here,
right.
Which makes me think he really didn't listen to our show.
I think he just didn't think it was going to. Well,
I don't know.
Have you ever heard anything about that company? No.
And I know that they were trying to partner with Mark Ridley, and apparently Mark Ridley washed his hands of them.
The guy's last name eventually. Let me just point this out. I'm not going to give the guy's full name. But the guy's last name was Risk.
Well, I think that was his radio name. He was a salesman.
Okay, but do you want to get in business
Jimmy
with
Risk,
the guy whose last name is Risk?
I just said the guy's
there
name.
There you go.
Cares.
Whatever.
But anyway.
Who cares?
Maybe Jimmy's doing all right.
I just regret that we didn't get a hot tub party going with that producer girl, because I think she was
I think
ready
we probably
go.
Had girlfriends at the time, maybe. I don't know what we were doing.
I don't think I did. You. That might have been.
Thinking back fondly on your single days. Greatest thing ever.
You know, to me, as I got older, I thought it was stupid when I read it in high school, but now the best book title ever. I know why the cage bird sings. I think that is.
Yeah.
I think that's. I think that title speaks of. Anyway, I could look.
So, Last Comic Standing, you're saying, is good because it's all stand up and.
I don't know. It's still got some certain deficiencies in that one, Craig Robinson's bad.
He just. To me, he adds nothing.
He doesn't add
and
anything.
And I think Bill Bellamy was bad. Bill Bellamy subtracted.
Mm-hmm.
I think really, James. Not only anybody's really added anything,
no.
But Craig. Craig Robinson definitely adds nothing.
Doesn't add anything.
Adds nothing, yes.
He doesn't really have an opportunity to add much.
And he's not terrible, but he doesn't add
anything.
I think
I liked Last Comic Standing best in its first edition when it was in a house.
Yeah.
And it was like Rich Voss and Dave Mordell and guys who were experienced.
And they were busting each other's chops and stuff a little bit.
And they were playing pranks on each other. Remember they did hide and seek in that one guy?
Yeah.
That was funny. Comics busting each other's balls. I was okay with.
Yeah.
Ralphie May. But then the house format didn't work later on because they made it more and more like other reality shows where they were doing prize challenges. And that didn't
work. Yeah, they had to go out and do stand-up comedy in a laundromat, and it was a lot of weird shit like that.
Because you can't really turn stand-up into something else.
Yeah.
You can't make an activity out of it.
Didn't they have to go out to the streets of Universal City Walk or something and tell jokes?
There was one, I think, where they had to entertain, like, tour buses.
Yeah.
They had to be the docent on the tour bus.
I'm not against that. I mean, look, that's not really a good way to judge a comedy competition.
No.
But it might make for more interesting television than just people standing up and telling jokes.
Right.
I mean, I don't get the entertainment value
like,
in that.
Much like American Idol, the only real entertainment value in Last Comic Standing is the auditions.
Yes.
Where crazy people like Harry Barbarian show up and do it.
There's a million shows where you can just watch people do comedy.
Sure.
And if that's all it's going to be, and then it's some weird system of deciding who's better, I can decide. I know who's better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why do we have to have people call in to it? I don't know who's good.
I don't know.
Like, we know. It ain't like.
Because a competition is a format that sells.
Well, anyway.
And I think most comics don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
I will say that the level of talent was overall slightly higher this year because they removed some of the shenanigans.
Okay. Well.
And they had the judges I liked were.
The judges were great.
Andy Kindler and Greg Giraldo
were great.
And then that broad in the middle.
Natasha Legere was who gives a shit.
But now the judges are gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're in the final 10.
Well, speaking of that, you were talking about Paul Prevent, the Green Room. That's why we started talking about that. Paul Prevent's new show is very good. He had Andy Kindler on as a guest.
Uh huh.
It was Andy Kindler, Andy Dick.
Mm hmm.
I want to say, and it was just a weird. They had Roseanne and Saget together.
Wow,
it's basically Tough Crowd. It's basically that.
Uh-huh.
But Prevenge is those, and it's funny. So I like it. It's on Showtime.
Have you seen?
It's on after. It's in a 1 hour Power Hour with Penn and Teller's Bullshit.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually two good shows.
Have
so
you
there
seen,
you go. The new Bullshits are good too.
Have
those
you seen Louis C.K.'s show?
I have not seen Louis C.K.'s show
because apparently he did a show where he got in a fist fight with Nick DiPaolo.
Okay, I've not seen that, but I like that.
That was the premise. Was he and Nick DiPaolo had an argument over politics and got in a fist fight. And then they had to go to the hospital and Louis felt bad.
All right, so there's your TV roundup. Craig Kilborn's back real quick.
Craig Kilborn.
We're almost 90, we're an hour, 15 minutes.
Back. Craig Kilborn has disappeared. Okay, he walked off his show, The Late Late Show, in what, 2004? Says, yeah.
Yeah.
Craig Kilborn had been on SportsCenter in the early 90s. Then he was on The Daily Show.
The Daily Show.
He was the original Daily
original
Show.
Original host.
Which most people don't remember.
Sure.
And I kind of liked him when he was on the Daily Show.
He never did Talk Soup.
When he was on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
That was in the early days of SportsCenter when Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick had been the first guys to be wacky.
Yeah.
And then there was a spate of guys that were wacky right after them.
Yes.
An era we're living in with still today.
Do I want to say that SportsCenter is not as wacky as
it
used to be?
It's less wacky than it used to be.
Is it really? I think it is.
It went up the hill and hit the top of the wacky mountain. But Kilborn came immediately after Olbermann and Patrick. They might have still been on the air.
Yeah.
And he was wacky.
Yeah.
I remember his dunk call was Jumanji.
Oh.
He would just say that for no good reason. That was when everybody had to have a wacky catchphrase.
Yeah.
And Kilborn was kind of different on there, though, because he was kind of making fun of the SportsCenter process.
Right.
Then he did The Daily Show, and he was kind of making fun of news.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know what he's doing.
But this is a show that is, it's a daytime, I guess it's considered an early evening.
Early evening.
Slot.
It's being run in like between 6 and 8.
Well, what it is, I believe it's the same company that's doing TMZ. And I think they're pairing it as the companion show to TMZ. So it's kind of, you know, how TMZ is kind of snarky too. And
right.
I think they're trying to put those two together as some sort of.
It's essentially
combo.
It's essentially a fusion of The Daily Show and his talk show.
Yeah.
It's,
but his show came on. Mm-hmm. Nobody missed it.
Right.
Ferguson came on, who was, I know he was on Drew Carey, but was essentially unknown.
Yeah.
And did every bit as good as he did.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of like, you know, you kind of marginalize Kilbourn. But people say that he was holding out. They thought, apparently, the idea was he was thinking if he said, hey, I'm going to leave the show, that they would open up the floodgates, pay him a bunch of money to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of called his bluff, and the next thing you know, he's on his ass.
That's the story I heard, is that CBS said, hey, Craig, your ratings are okay, but we could do the same with a trained monkey. You know, and that was what they basically told him.
Yeah.
And they proved it, and they went out and did a guest search.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the trained monkey did, but Ferguson won.
Did they do a thing where they was there a period where there was like a rotating host?
Yeah.
That? Yeah, I try to remember that.
There was about
that.
7 or 8 months where they had rotating hosts. One of them was Michael Ian Black.
Okay.
There were guys that were in the running.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys like Carolla got tryouts.
Yeah.
And that was interesting.
I'm sure you'd like a big stack of DVDs of those shows.
Oh,
right?
I'd love to watch those.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing I love.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome.
If there's something Corey Hall loves, it's stuff that didn't work. Like The Green Room. I'd like to listen to The Green Room.
I might have The Green Room somewhere on my
I'd like to hear that.
Here.
God, your voice breaks like Bobby Brady. It's great.
I did radio. Well, I blew my voice out.
Yeah.
You know, I was, you know, vacationing. And then I did the Funhouse last
when
night.
When it's time to change.
I had John Tortolotta as my guest last night.
Oh, well, you got to talk over
and
John.
And I had to scream over his
Jen's very loud.
Dumbass.
Can I tell you a funny thing? We ran into John at the Comedy Castle. You were there.
Yeah.
You were hosting a show that night. And he said hi to Amy. It's like, hey, how you doing? And Amy was like, I can't believe that he sounds exactly like.
He sounds like your friend.
He sounds.
Oh, she had
like
never heard him before.
I don't know if she'd talked to John that much before, but she was like, "He sounded just like the impression that you do."
All right.
And I thought that was very funny.
Right, so I think we've covered Kilbourn, The Office. Steve
Kilbourn's
Carell.
Doing the same show.
He's doing the same show at 7:30 p.m.
Same show for less money at 7:30. It's in test markets. It's only in seven markets.
I think it's
we're one of them.
Yeah.
It's actually doing better here than it's doing in New York and L.A.
Well,
it's in like Austin or someplace.
Who gives a shit? I say it doesn't make it.
Least he's got. I will say this about the Kilbourn file: if you have an opportunity to see it, he's got the least named guests you'll ever see. In your life.
Yeah, nobody.
Do you remember that guy that was on Celebrity Mole that we didn't know who he was? Eric Von Detten.
He had him on.
He would be a big name on the
He would be
show.
A big name. On.
The biggest name he's had on. I think the two biggest names he's had on were David Alan Greer and Tom Arnold.
Wow,
those are the two biggest stars that Kilbourn's pulled in for this test show. So.
So you can watch that if you. But nobody even remembers him.
He
really
he left in 2004, 6 years, vanished.
Nothing.
He was in Old School. That was it. And then poof.
Yeah, I don't know.
No one was clamoring for him.
But no one even wanted him to be in a movie. No one even wanted him for like a big part in a movie or something.
He was in.
Or did he just turn everything down? Like
I don't know what his bullshit.
Yeah,
there's a story. There was a show.
People say he was an egomaniac, and like no one wanted to work with him.
Well, there's a documentary on the Biography Channel. If you can track that down, which is like A&E's Biography Channel, called The Late Night Wars.
Okay,
that was pretty interesting, and they talked to Kilbourn, and he claimed. Well, I just wanted to do something else, and I walked away.
But he did nothing.
He looked at the camera and lied basically worse than anyone's ever lied to a camera. Bill Clinton's I did not have sex with that woman was less of a lie. And
did he want to, like, tend to the garden? Is that what he was – the work that he was
I don't know.
He
says – and then in this stupid Entertainment Weekly interview, he's like, well, I'd hang around the house and listen to some jazz. and I drink $70 bottles of wine.
Like, it's not like he was Johnny Carson. And he could walk away from some great, you know, TV.
I find Kilbourn kind of fascinating because I can't tell entirely if it's an act or if he really is that big of a prick.
I think he's that big of a prick.
I think he really is.
Because
the other people, what was great on that biography, Doc, is that there were like one of his producers on there. Well, they were one talking about Liz Winstead when he was on Daily Show and how he got her. They got in fights.
No.
And there was a sexual harassment deal where he told him to blow her, much like Mel Gibson.
Ah.
And then one of the producers was like, I couldn't explain to Craig that you can't have hot chicks on like each show. Like he would have just had
a hot
nothing
day, yeah.
but hot chicks interviewed every night of the week. Oh,
all right. So he is.
Kilborn's back. Look
maybe he'll be more. Maybe he won't be as big of a jerk off. I don't know. You think that's possible?
Not so much. Okay. It seems still jerky.
The Office. Steve Carell's leaving. He gave some media interviews. He doesn't want Michaels. He doesn't. He hasn't said if he wants the show to go on. I mean, obviously, it's not up to him. Mm-hmm. My feeling is that that's one of their big shows, and they're not going to stop the show just because Steve Carell left. That's my feeling.
Which, to me, is a
mistake.
It's
an ensemble, and I think that they've shown... Look, they've kind of replaced Jenna Fischer, even though she's still on the show.
No, they put in Aaron, who's
they put
the
in
new Jenna Fischer.
Who is, you know, perfectly acceptable as... Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like as good as Steve Carell is... That show still could have some comedy mileage with somebody, either a new character coming in.
I would respectfully request that they bury it.
I disagree.
I don't think
they will. Whether they should look, it might come on and suck. I'll give you that.
We're now in a media era in which you can't go away.
Well,
because look, Futurama's back.
Okay.
Futurama went off the same time.
Have you watched Futurama?
No. I saw one of the two new episodes.
Okay.
But that went away the same time Craig Kilborn did.
Yeah.
Like 2004. Mm-hmm. Yet people were like, I like future. They watch the reruns.
Yeah.
People will watch a fucking. They could put Seinfeld back on.
Just no problem.
Tomorrow.
In
right?
prime time.
Don't you think they could?
All old episodes. By the way, have you seen Seinfeld in HD?
It doesn't look that
it's
good.
Weird. They get to chop it off, and then they blew it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's clearer. It's HD.
But it's not really HD.
It's very odd looking. It doesn't look right.
Because that show was shot on video.
The show was shot on... No, it was shot on 16mm.
Oh, was
it? Yeah, and I think they're blowing up. You know, 16mm is very squarish.
So it's not 32.
It's not... What does that mean, 32?
Hmm?
32.
No, 16, 32, 70.
No, it would be 35.
35, excuse me.
Yeah, 35.
Excuse me.
32. All right.
Sorry.
Thank God you have nothing to do with the movies because...
You're right, 35. I know.
We'll talk about movies. So I think they will continue The Office. What do you think they will do? Forget about what you want them to do.
I believe...
Will they continue The Office?
They'll probably milk it for another year with Dwight. But do you ever think getting rid of the lead character and keeping on a show? They try that with Scrubs.
Well, they do that with who left on Scrubs? The chicks?
Zach Braff left.
What did he leave?
The last season of Scrubs was like Zach Braff was in one or two episodes.
But I thought it came back on ABC.
It did, and it was...
And Zach Braff wasn't on it?
No.
I don't know.
He was barely on it.
Well, I don't know nothing about that.
But they try and do that every now and then. We're like...
Well, the crime shows can get away with it because they're so...
Generic
and formatted that right. they can just replace.
Can you believe people cried that Law & Order was over?
Yeah.
My dad has seen every Law & Order twice. Your dad's probably watched them all, too.
He might have. I don't know. My dad's a house guy.
Right.
Same fucking thing, but...
Oh, he'll watch House.
House is
show.
A little more personality than maybe a Law & Order, but...
Yeah.
They still solve mysteries
well,
in 60
my
minutes.
My dad's favorite show of all time was NYPD Blue, because,
no.
you know, he felt he was like Sipowicz. You know, he could identify with Sipowicz.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm a fat guy with a mustache. Yeah, I'm just like this. And but then after that, it was Law & Order, and he watched it. And there's 400 episodes of Law & Order.
There are, yeah.
You could never, I could never watch all of it.
You could never watch them all.
I don't think I could ever. I think there's a lot of there's still Twilight Zones I haven't seen.
I know there's Twilight Zones. I have them all on DVD, and I still haven't had time to watch them.
And I love the Twilight Zone, and I've watched it, you know, for 20 years,
yeah.
off and on, here and there. And there's episodes of that I've never seen.
Yeah.
How can 400 Law & Orders not be enough? Let The Office go.
But not even that. The thing about Law & Order is there's spinoffs and there's other crime shows that kind of mm-hmm. took that format. And you could just watch any
there's
of
them. There's 12 different shows that yeah, are the same exactly. thing. My dad loved JAG. Watched that like it was his job. Then JAG became NCIS. Then there's like NCIS LA or something.
Yes.
They did. Stop.
Okay. Movies now. Real quick.
Yeah.
Inception. I know you saw that. It opens this week.
Absolutely.
People are thinking that's going to be a big hit because Christopher Nolan from Dark Knight is next movie.
I don't know if it's going to be a big hit because it's
no.
too confusing.
Is it weird? Is confusing?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really, really good in terms of being an action movie.
Yeah.
It's the plot is basically similar to Dreamscape with Dennis Quaid, if you saw that.
I don't even know if I did or not.
Or Brainstorm with Christopher Walken and Natalie Wood before he threw her off the boat.
Right.
Drowned her. And Dreamscape, speaking of film, was shot, the dream sequences were shot in 70 millimeter.
Oh.
And so when they originally showed it in like 82 or 3, they would blow, the screen would expand when they went into dream scenes.
Wow, okay.
Which was a really confusing process and didn't work very well in some theaters. But, yeah, so they shot the dream scenes wide. Now in this, there's IMAX. I did not see the IMAX print of this, so I don't know if it's all IMAX or if...
Well...
When they did Dark Knight
he
had
shot sequences in IMAX.
20 minutes of Dark Knight was in IMAX. Yeah, yeah. And so, much like Brainstorm, it would expand to IMAX.
Well, I have to look that up because that's interesting because I think what they do is they blow... Occasionally, they do shoot in IMAX, which is what they did on Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
But like we saw Transformers, the first one, in IMAX. And it was a blown-up IMAX, and it was blown out of proportion. It was not...
Now, I think since this is Chris Nolan, he might have shot it.
He might have
IMAX.
Shot. I'm gonna look that up before we go because I might want to go to the Henry Ford and see this.
Well, I didn't see this in IMAX, but I would recommend it. Probably is pretty good in IMAX.
You think so?
If it's all in IMAX, it's spectacular.
Well, why don't I IMDb while you
find
review.
That out? Inception is so essentially it's about Leonardo DiCaprio and Joseph Gordon-Levitt as guys who go into your they're like spies that have the ability to. Enter dreams, and it's a really convoluted process. You need like three people to do this. You have one person who is the dream creator, so they basically it's their dream that you enter, and then you can link the other person into the dream. It's very confusing, and this is why I think its commercial properties are a little questionable, because at one point they have a four-tiered dream. So you essentially you start off with a dream and the people aren't aware that you're invading their dream, and then they slowly become more aware of it, and when they become more aware of it, their mind starts to create defenses to chase you.
Okay.
Kind of like the Matrix.
Here's what I have on the technical specs. Now, I don't know. I went to film school. I know a little bit about this. It appears as though this was shot in a combination of formats.
Mm-hmm.
None of which were IMAX.
Okay.
So if you go to the IMAX, you are getting some sort of blown up version of it. It says
was it
here,
shot in 70?
Some of it was shot. It says it was shot in digital intermediate 4K master format, some scenes. HD cam SR 1080p 24 source format, high speed shots. Panavision Super 70, so that's a 70 millimeter process. Source format, some scenes. Panavision anamorphic source format. That makes me think that that would be maybe not the effect shot. And then VistaVision, which is a 35 millimeter format, but it's turned sideways, aerial shots. Now, what I know about movies is that they'll do these things for effect shots because when they put them into that, if you have more resolution,
more data to go in,
more data in that you can take it down to 35 millimeter, mm-hmm. and it'll still look good.
Well,
so my guess is that this was not shot in IMAX at all.
Yeah.
So if you're really getting any benefit from seeing it in IMAX,
well, it looks
I don't
great.
Know.
It looks great in a standard theater, and what I would recommend going and finding a theater that's got a big screen.
Okay. Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be IMAX.
Well, if you go see it. The thing about a movie like this, if you see it opening weekend, it's going to be in the biggest.
Right.
It's going to be in the biggest theater with the biggest the biggest screen at the 30 screen thing. If you go see it in 6 weeks, it might
it'll
still
be
hanging around.
Screen, yeah.
But it'll be on a little postage stamp in the corner. So
this would be the first we've had since Avatar.
Yeah.
Which I still hate, but I
really you hate Avatar.
I appreciated it. I hate the story and
okay,
the script.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I appreciated Avatar as a visual event that people were excited about.
Yeah.
And the first time I saw it, I thought it was kind of cool. I saw it twice, and hated it the second time. Anyway, this is since Avatar. There's been all these movies that have come out 3D.
Yes,
and they've all sucked.
Well, Alice in Wonderland I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, Alice in Wonderland was.
I thought that the effects worked good, and I thought that Tim Burton's touches made it better than it might have been. It was still dumb. I mean, it was every bit as dumb as Avatar.
You didn't see Last Airbender.
I didn't see Last Airbender. I didn't see Clash of the Titans. I saw Toy Story 3 in 3D, where the 3D added nothing.
The 3D didn't really add much to Toy Story.
Because they didn't take... did Despicable Me... was that... did you see that in 3D?
I didn't see Despicable Me.
You didn't see Despicable Me at all?
No.
Because people are saying that that 3D was good, and Toy Story 3's was bad.
The Toy Story 3 3D wasn't... didn't...
it just didn't add anything.
It didn't detract from the movie. It was like Craig Robinson.
It didn't... yeah, exactly.
It was an inoffensive visitor.
Well, I saw Up in 3D last summer.
Up, I thought... nothing. Had something in 3D.
I don't think it really added much to the 3D.
Really? I thought it added a little texture. Anyway, this thankfully is not in 3D, but it is.
Yeah.
If you go see it, I would be interested to see it in IMAX. I might have to go back and see it. It's really cool. It's a very brilliantly structured action movie.
Yeah.
So it pretty much moves along at a good pace. Right. When it tries to get all metaphysical about what's the dream and what's the reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio was haunted, of course, by something that is... interfering with his ability to be a dream warrior, you know.
Yeah.
And he's got a wife and all this stuff, and that's okay, but some of it's great. Ellen Page was pretty good in it.
All right,
she's kind of the dream creator, and she's the she's your audience entry point so that you can follow her.
Sure.
But some of it's great. The some of the effects when the dreams are collapsing are amazing.
Yeah, okay.
But then in addition to that, it's not all reliant on the CGI, because they also have just big giant set pieces that are, you know, they go to this the same mountain fortress that they did in Her Majesty's Secret Service with Blofeld.
Okay.
So there's a big snow battle at the end. There's a whole thing where they're running through the streets in Africa in a, you know, those crazy narrow little Moroccan
kind
of streets.
So they did some
It looks like $1 billion. It looks great. I don't know. Some people, their mileage will vary in terms of how much they care about the metaphysics of it.
Is it going to be like Shutter Island, where you're just like, fuck you?
It's better than Shutter Island.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Although, you know, it's got a very similar
vibe. It's got a twist kind of thing.
It's got a very similar vibe, and you go, oh, geez, Leonardo, why are you doing the same thing again? But it's better. It's ultimately better than Shutter Island. I got a little Matrix vibe off it.
Okay.
Like the first Matrix. Yeah. I got a little bit of that. All in all, it's pretty good. I'm be really interested to see what it does, because it involves some thinking.
Okay.
And the American public has proven time and again,
well,
they're not big on the whole thinking thing.
This summer's movies have been such a pile of shit.
God, they've been bad.
I mean,
Iron Man 2 was the only thing that lived up to
I thought A-Team was good, although it was a disappointment.
Yeah, box.
I was fine with A-Team.
A-Team was okay. It was dumb.
I mean, it was as good as the show.
Sure.
Not saying much.
Speaking of living up to the... Predators was okay.
Tighten that thing right there.
Yeah, this is...
Oh, Predators was okay?
It was okay.
Okay. Because I don't know if I even, like... if I would even like the first Predator now.
If you saw it?
If I saw it now. I mean, I remember liking it at the time, but I was...
yeah, because you were a kid.
And, you know, Predator 2 was dumb.
Well, I'll tell you what this Predator was fine. It was a good action movie. If you just want to see a dumb action movie, and you just want to see... Oleg Taktarov's in it. That's pretty
funny. He's actually been in a few things.
Yeah. Yeah,
does he play a Russian bad guy?
Yes. He's
damn it.
Yeah, I know.
I can't believe he's typecast.
He's the Russian Spetsnaz.
He was an early UFC fighter, for those of you that don't know.
Who specialized in taking a beating.
Oh, by the way, so Predator's good? Before I change
it's okay. It's just not... the first Predator had a sense of humor.
Okay, yeah.
This one's not as fun.
Not as much. But is it the Aliens formula? Is that same thing?
It's basically them getting hunted down and chased. And it's pretty good.
I took my girlfriend to UFC the other day.
I heard that.
She loved it.
Yeah?
She put up the putting up the biggest fight about going to UFC.
That's
you have to buy me drinks.
It's not really what she said.
You have to say. She loved it. No, she
it's
admitted
not really what
later.
She said when I
she
talked
admitted,
to her.
She admitted she loved UFC. She went and was cheering and getting into it and having a great time. And even Sabo was there, and he almost ruined it for her. But she got through Sabo. This is the hottest waitress I've ever seen, Joel. What do you think? He turns to me and says that with my girlfriend sitting there. I don't think I've ever seen a more attractive waitstaff. Fucking shut up, Sabo. What do you think? What a douche.
I got to deal.
Sabo, I advise. Because Sabo did UFC picks with me for a long time on the show, and maybe we'll do it again. But so Sabo was in town, and he said, well, I'm going to go to bar to UFC. I'll save you a seat at the bar. Because the bar was packed for Shane Carwin versus Brock Lesnar, the heavyweight championship fight.
I can't believe that he took time out from booking a Chili's in Ottumwa, Iowa.
No, he
for $75 in a hotel. I can't believe he took the time out to come up. No, he was playing the cast.
He was playing the Comedy Cast. So he's UFC was that night, and I said, I'm going to go watch it. And he said, I'll come watch
Heather
it
did not
you.
Seem as excited about
well,
UFC she, when I talked
she,
to her.
She admitted she liked it. No, in front of other people, not even just to me.
Okay.
She said that she had a great time at it. And she will go again.
Yeah.
So if she wants, if I ask her.
Yeah, there you go.
Politely.
All right.
So anyway, that was good. All right, let's get out of here, man. We've been 90 goddamn fucking minutes. Of this
good night, show. Everybody.
Good night to all our friends.
To anyone who stole
our ships at sea. I don't know. What do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want from me?
Well,
come on.
You know, when I quit and then you take 3 weeks off.
What, 2.5 fucking minutes?
2.5 minutes.
Don't you dare wait.
I'm sorry, Mal.
Right now.
No, Mal.
Now I'm blaming you.
Don't blame me.
I don't blame you.
I didn't go to sleep.
I deserve to be blown.
All right.
First.
I'll blow you.
Fucking jacuzzi.
All right.
I'll burn the goddamn house down.
Don't. You don't have to do that, Mal.
Blow me first.
All right.
How dare you?
Sorry.
How fucking dare you?
I apologize. God, he's all angry.
He's got a point, though. You blow him before he gets in the jacuzzi, because then he can suffer shrinkage. As you proved on that beach.
You know, I don't even know. All right, well, let's get out of here. Let's say goodnight. Good, thank you, Corey.
Shalom.
Read Corey at MetroTimes.com. It's great. Actually, you know, if you subscribe...
I'll be in Bowling Green with Steve Sabol.
Soon?
The 27th.
Oh, you know, if you subscribe to the Metro Times email... that they have direct links to your movie reviews. Did you know that?
That's cool.
So I actually get that now. So.
All right. Check that out.
All right. Good night, everybody. We'll catch you next time on Joel Radio. See ya.